If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming.
The message is popping up in the corner like Teamstars, and you're seeing she missed this. Oh, that's not very good. Why did she put that there?
Yes.
Can you imagine how off-putting?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, Em, and welcome back, everyone. It's our favorite part of every episode, the Shoot Your Shot shout out. We're shouting out our listeners. You've gone out there, you've shot your shot, and now we're giving you a shout out. This is where we're celebrating you guys, our incredible listeners. You're all around the world. And this week, the shout out is for Cherie, who bought us a coffee. Thank you, Cherie. You're helping us make this show.
She said, I found Interview Boss about 12 months ago when I had started searching for a new role after a career break to support my young family. My last role before the break was a manager/leadership role, and I was feeling stuck between wanting to return at the same level and massively lacking confidence to apply at that level during a terrible job market. I also live in a regional area where the number of senior roles in my industry is fairly close to zero. Yikes. I had a couple of interviews in the first few months of searching, and though I felt the interviews generally went well, I didn't land the roles. Feeling depleted and questioning my skills, I listened to more of your episodes. That's when I went back to one of your older eps about writing your career story, and I realized that in interviews, I was telling a career story that I had actually outgrown. So I rewrote my career story and practiced it until it felt natural but not rehearsed. By the next time I interviewed, my career story really changed the tone and trajectory of the interview and gave me more confidence to share examples that better reflect my strengths as a leader. I'm thrilled to share that I start a new role next week after a year-long search. It's a leadership contract role with a brilliant community organization. I'm so excited to get started and so appreciative to Interview Boss for sparking my new perspective during the interview stage. Thanks, Emma and Sarah.
Oh, we don't often hear as much about our career story stuff, do we? About how people notice, hey, that landed differently when I told a bit of a different story. I fully believe that it completely changes the tone of an interview. I can feel it when I'm interviewing, and I can feel the people next to me who are the ones making the decision already going, we could be on here, when they're just in the first few minutes of what they're talking about, introducing themselves. It can really totally change the tone.
You kind of have the same career story or same variation of the career story for like large chunks of time. And it's not until you kind of have a big change in circumstances, like having a big career break or switching fields or something, that you kind of notice, well, hang on, this doesn't make sense anymore. This isn't serving me. It's time to rethink it. And it seems that that was the key here, having that light bulb moment to be maybe honest about where she was at and what kind of role she wanted to get into, that it wasn't exactly where she left off last time and things she enjoyed, and just like an honest account of where she's at.
Yeah, I love that. Congratulations, Cherie. I hope the job is incredible. Now, if you are like Cherie and maybe you're struggling with your career story, your intro, need a little bit of help, well, good news, there's two options for you. We have Interview Academy. You can get started immediately, get in, look at the modules, go through the workbook. We really break down. There is an entire module dedicated just to your career story. So we're really breaking it down into each of the decisions that you need to make in order to build it up to the story that it needs to be. So you're not just starting from draft your story. You're starting from make these couple of decisions, do this bit next, like really step by step, so that when you get to the stage of practicing, you've got something that you're really, really proud of that really fits you and that you can then go in and kick off with. Or if you kind of know what you're doing already, but you just don't know how to take it to the next level, maybe a one-on-one session is right for you. You can find out all about both of those options. interviewboss.com.au/coaching.
And as always, if you loved an episode, used a tip that we sent you, or want to request an episode specifically on your industry or conundrum, kindly follow us on Instagram, slide into our DMs, or send us an email, and we could dedicate a whole episode to you, which is what we're doing today with our lovely friend Katie, who has been through something traumatic. This took my breath away.
It did. And I just want to say, you always say, on your situation or conundrum. Well, Katie has had a conundrum.
Absolutely. So Katie wrote to us and said, during my most recent interview, I was completing an assessment for an admin to a PA on the PA's laptop. While doing so, I could clearly see messages going back and forth between the PA and the recruiter discussing my performance in real time. The messages were visible to me as the candidate, which made me feel very uncomfortable and distracted during the assessment. I've emailed the head of recruitment with feedback. I'm really upset about this because it impacted my performance and I feel like this is absolutely not okay to do? Okay, firstly, absolutely not okay to do. Thank you for sharing that horror story with us.
Yes, I really put myself in her position, imagining that I'm in some boardroom and maybe they've even like, we don't know all these details, right? But I'm imagining maybe they've left you in there, set you up with the laptop, given you the task, off you go. You're doing it by yourself in a room and there maybe you're working in a live document or something like that because they can obviously see in real time. Like, I don't know how, like there's obviously some version of they're looking at what you're doing. So maybe it's a live document that you're being asked to work on or edit or something like that, or an email task or an Excel or something. And the PA, you've got the PA's computer. So they must be on Teams on their phone and messaging with the recruiter. Why would they be messaging? I'm not sure why.
Or maybe
they're remote. I don't even know. But like the messages popping up in the corner like Teams does and you're seeing she missed this. Oh, that's not very good. Why did she put that there?
Yes.
Can you imagine how off-putting?
I've been in one of these very sterile clinical environments before where I was escorted to a room. It was a tiny shoebox room. It's like they put me in a utilities closet. I'm sweating profusely. They've given me like something to write, but the task to write involves reading through like company policies. It's kind of testing like, can you get the job done with this information, but don't get tricked by the fact that you're not allowed to say this. So I'm like flicking through the papers. I'm writing stuff. I'm checking the time frantically. I'm like, oh, I've got 20 minutes left. I still haven't even moved on to that task yet. Like it's so high stress. If a message popped up then criticizing my writing, I would have crashed out.
Imagine you heard through the vents them discussing you from next door. Like that would be the equivalent. You'd be like, oh.
We don't know the nastiness scale of what was said. Like if it was like, you know, it's awful regardless, but it could have been like, oh, what a shame. You know, she got that part wrong, or it could have been as horrible as like, wow, what an idiot. Nah, definitely not getting her, incompetent. Like if these people are friends and they're just thinking that they're having a private conversation, who knows the nastiness of what was said. So I just want to put that out there that, wow, I'm thinking of you because that is so horrifyingly humiliating and sickening to go through.
And no wonder it affected how you were doing in the task, like how, God, I hope, I cannot believe that this is, I don't think this is right, but imagine that that was like part of it to see how you do under stress or something, like reading horrible messages about yourself. I'm not surprised that it affected your performance because that's just not what you would be expected to do in the real environment. Like you wouldn't sit back and watch colleagues talk about you while you're trying to do your work.
Wow.
So I wanted to say to Katie, obviously not okay. However, it would really surprise me if they knew that you could see their messages. Like that would really surprise me. I don't think that they knew that you could see.
This was a slip up.
Yes, I really do think it was a slip up. That always, like messages popping up or whatever, it always makes me think about when you're presenting your screen, when you're sharing your screen in a meeting, worrying about an email popping up that's confidential or something. Like I used to run training sessions and things and I'd share my screen and be showing people through stuff. And you get emails about things and people put it in the subject line. kind of like, you know, probation discussion, this person or something like that, or like performance issue. And they've put the person's name in the title of the email. So you don't even need to see the whole email pop up, just the notification. And I was always terrified that one of those would pop up, or a Teams message, or something would come up while I was in that session sharing my screen. And obviously there's ways to turn your notifications off and things, but wow, they really didn't think about that when they handed over the PA's laptop, did they? I love that she followed up and gave her feedback to the recruiter, to the head of recruitment, because I think they need to know, like, because I'm so confident that it was a slip up, they will make sure that that doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
I would hope. Like, that head of recruitment will go, how could you let that happen? Also, if this is a PA, imagine what else could have come up in the messages.
That's true.
Imagine what else. Somebody else sending them something really confidential and important could have also come up. Like, they're lucky that it was just recruitment messages back and forth. As horrible as that was, it could have been something way worse that should not be disclosed to someone outside the company. So, bit of a security problem.
Also, for the PA, like, a PA, is it not an administrative whiz in that they're amazing at organizing and like tech and stuff like that? I would be a bit like, are you skilled to do this job if you're doing boomer stuff, like leaking messages? Like, what?
Yeah. And I guess you're given a task and you're given, you know, their laptop. Hey, do it, just do it on my computer. I don't know. You need to talk to your tech department and get like a dummy laptop, or at least like a guest login for the person so they can log in as a guest and they're not seeing all of your stuff. Yeah, not good. If you're going to give someone a task, you need to set that up in a different way for sure. Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy. I want to know, what would you do in this situation, Em? If this is happening, you see these messages come up, what would you do?
Oh, I don't know. I think I would freeze and panic, and like, I have answers to give, but it's hard to know whether I would actually do that in the moment. Like, part of me thinks that I would open the chat and go, I can see this, you know.
I can see this.
Like,
I had the same thought. Hi, I just wanted to let you know I can see these.
Yeah, I feel like that.
It would stop immediately,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, because I feel like that's not confrontational in a way. Like, it's just like, hey, just a heads up, this is visible to me. And then it would be them that would be doing the spiraling. But I feel like with the high stakes, high emotions, I feel like I would probably cry in there, firstly, not knowing what to do. The brave part of me thinks that maybe I would just walk up and go out to them and be like, hey, I don't think this is a good fit. I've noticed those messages have popped up and I'm not comfortable continuing the interview, or something like that. I would like to think I would do something like that, remove myself, because how could you possibly continue? Like, I'm thinking about continuing the interview is one thing, getting through that somehow, but then to go out there and act normal and shake their hand and say, thank you so much, what are next steps? I don't think I could pretend in that way. I think I would be so flabbergasted that I would just want to exit immediately. But I can also see myself doing what Katie did and just getting out of there, ignoring it until I can get in the car and call someone and vent and cry and be like, that was so awful. And then emailing to be like, this was extremely unprofessional. Please pass this on.
I just had a thought, by the way. Imagine they had an interview and then she got the assessment and they're discussing her interview. What did you think? Oh, yeah, not sure.
Yeah. Like,
that's even worse. I don't know why that's even worse,
yeah.
But like, because it's distracting you from what you're trying to do and you already kind of know what they think of you and like, oh, horrible.
As if interview nerves and anxiety isn't bad enough, Katie's probably traumatized from interviews forever.
And I was going to say that I would tell them, I would like walk over to them and be like, hey, just so you know, I can see the messages you're sending back and forth. Like, it's really distracting. I'm hoping that I can get some extra time because it really just interrupted what I was doing. But that depends on what it was, doesn't it? And it depends on how it came up. And I don't know, that's a really, really tough decision. And I think at least you've given that feedback because you want to make sure that that doesn't happen to someone else. I do think this was a big slip up for them. And I don't think, hopefully this doesn't happen to anyone else.
I'm just thinking, she said they were discussing her performance in real time. She hasn't actually said that they were criticizing her or saying how bad she was, but obviously that it made her uncomfortable and distracted. So what if they were being like, yeah, I like her. I think she's nice. Not sure about it. Like, what if it was generally positive? Because maybe I wouldn't feel the urge to say something then, because you'd be like, oh God, this is distracting and annoying. But like, oh, maybe that's a boost. They like me, or you know what I mean? Would you still go and tell them that you saw it if it was good stuff?
I still think that you would want to pass that on. I would still be like, you need to know. That's, you can't do that again. That's not good. Like, what if you were saying something different? Also, to anyone out there who is listening to this and also occasionally does interviews or is involved in hiring in any way, you need to know that anything you write down in any way on paper, in a system somewhere, in any document, in any message system back and forth, can potentially one day be seen by the person that you're talking about, by that candidate. Most countries have some kind of discrimination requirement, freedom of information. If there was to be a case made that you discriminated against this person during the process, you would have to give evidence, everything that related to that discussion, that decision, that whatever. If you are writing things down about a candidate and the back and forth about why you're hiring them or what you thought, you need to be prepared for them to see that. And it's not to say that it needs to be nice.
No, it's the same as clinical notes in healthcare, right? They have to write it in a way that if that person read it, even if they're discussing real tough issues, it's not offensive personally.
That's right. And so if they're talking about, look, I'm just not sure based on her background and her answers, how she'd handle the pace of this organization and blah, blah, blah. Like, these things are genuine concerns and genuine things to be discussing. That's fine. As long as you have in the back of your mind, like, discussing how someone sat there or their outfit or, oh, did you see how she said this? Like, just the gossipy parts of it, not appropriate to be written down. And if you think more broadly that your workplace chat is private, it's not. Anyone in your workplace organization, in the admin area, in IT, whatever, can access every single one of your messages on a work platform. And I hope that's not news to anyone.
Yes. So you think that you would say something regardless of what was said and ask for extra time? And then would you also kind of follow up at the end and flag that this happened?
Whether I would say something in real time, like, would depend on the context of what they were saying and what the task was and if I had a time limit and whatever. But I would definitely say something afterwards, yeah, to follow up with them. Like, she's gone to the head of recruitment. It sounds like it was the recruiter and the PA, and she's kind of gone above the recruiter. I would even send it to the recruiter. Like, there's nothing wrong with going to the head of recruitment if you know who that is. But I think it's okay to go to the recruiter as well, because I promise you that they didn't do this deliberately.
Also, why couldn't it just wait until she leaves and do the thing that normal people do and go, oh, what did you think, in person, verbally? Why? Just don't live. You could have waited.
Well, this is why I'm like, why were they messaging each other? I'm not sure. Unless they're sitting in the room while she's doing this task.
Yeah, I don't know.
God, I don't know. My imagination is running wild. Katie, I feel like we have some follow-up questions. We need to know.
Yeah. Hypothetically, they've said bad things, like it's like kind of criticizing you. It's horrible. Then you get offered the job.
Oh.
Do you take it? Has it burnt you forever and this is just like ruined everything for you, or can you look past it personally?
Well, oh, I think you need to know yourself. Now, I and some other people out there might be in this position, am in a weird position where often I come into a company and then I'm, you know, given admin access to recruitment systems. And so that means that one way or the other, I get to see if there were any notes in there about interviews that I had or references that were done on me. And so you're getting to see information about yourself that you really normally wouldn't see. I don't like to go looking for it. I'm not that kind of a curious person. I prefer to maybe sometimes just not know. It doesn't matter. I'm here now. I think you need to know that about yourself. Are you the kind of person that can kind of go, oh, well, they probably say all sorts of things about all sorts of people, and probably they're not the first people to discuss me like that. It's just the first time I've heard about it. Or are you the person that couldn't forget that that's what they'd said, and you keep thinking about those messages and keep...
And then that could manifest into like overthinking every interaction and being convinced that they don't like you and
And like really digging in because they said, oh, they didn't know about how you deal with attention to detail. And like every time you picked up a mistake on the other person, you'd be really throwing it in their face because she said you didn't have good attention to detail. Like, are you not going to be able to let it go? Then I think you shouldn't take the job just for your own mental well-being.
Wow. Thinking of you, Katie, I hope your next interview is nothing like that. That is a colossal oversight. Just awful. And
can we just like have a tiny little moment of joy for Katie? I like to think of lots of things in life, like either they go well and amazing, it goes well, or it's so bad that you get a story out of it.
That's true.
Which is also kind of nice. Like you get a story. Do you know what's really annoying? When things are just horribly medium.
Yeah.
Not good, not bad. You don't get a story out of it. You don't get to whinge about it. It's nothing great. Doesn't make your day from that perspective. It's just mid. Katie got a great story.
She could participate in that TikTok trend that's like, you think you could hurt me? My interviewers discussed me on Teams in real time while I was doing a task.
Yes.
And you'd win that trend,
yes,
Katie.
Exactly. And you could like, you know, never have I ever like heard interview feedback about myself. Like it's a cool story to break out around your new colleagues and your new job. Horror stories from the interview fields.
Side note, this year I do want to launch a horrible bosses / horror story segment, and I want people to be able to send in voice notes. So just putting that out there that I'm welcoming more stories like this.
Putting it out into the universe that if you're listening this far on this episode, you clearly probably have a story and you should send it to us to get us started. Emma needs motivation to make this happen. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify, or better yet, tell someone else about the show in person, the old-fashioned way, or you could leave a review if you'd like that kind of thing. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people all around the world. For more advice, inspiration, or maybe some behind the scenes, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss, or find me on Instagram and chuck me a follow. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au / podcast.